The Mace Fingan and Donick 102.5 The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Fingan, and David Janes here with you. Predators fans, stick around after DVD, because Willie and I are going to stick around for an extra hour for the season premiere of Preds Insiders. So a full hour of hockey talk. The Predators opened the on-ice portion of training camp today. I went out there for a couple of hours. It's always good to be back at the rink. So if you want your hockey talk, be listening from 6 to 7, because Willie and I, we're not going to move a muscle. We're going to stay right here. Derek's going to leave. And David's going to stay, too. So Derek's going to leave. But the rest of us are going to stick around, and we are going to have a full hour of hockey talk.
Did you wear your customary? Well, I guess you did. No sleeves, no jacket. You just went in like that. Surprised you didn't have on shorts.
Well, I prepared by wearing pants.
Okay.
I prepared by
but
wearing
just,
pants.
Your preparing is wearing shorts. Just wear something.
Yes.
Our word of the day is bloodlusting.
Yes.
I have been bloodlusting for some
hockey
talk, in-depth hockey talk. Adam, I think you're in that same category. So we are here.
So y'all bloodlusters.
To satiate you.
Yeah. And y'all bloodlusters.
6-7 if you're a hockey fan. I really do want to hear from the fans today, because
we are going to be live, as I just mentioned. So you can call and text.
And we've already had some people on Twitter saying, "Hey, I want to know this." I would love to have that discussion from 6 to 7 tonight, because we know one thing about the Predators based on what happened last year. They have a lot of question marks.
A lot.
Right? And they know it. And what was Barry Trotz's line today?
Oh, it was so
good. It's a great line.
Barry Trotz, I got to pull this up. I did not get to Barry Trotz's news conference today. But Barry Trotz said, tongue in cheek, quote, "We've proved the experts wrong 2 years in a row, and we're hoping to make it 3.
So there you go. There's a lot of question marks. So there's a lot to discuss, and we haven't talked a whole lot of hockey the last month or so, which is kind of how it goes, right? Until training camp starts, you don't talk a lot of hockey when football gets cranking. But we want to hear from Predator fans next hour.
So Predators fans, be listening from 6 to 7. We are going to be live. We didn't do too many live editions of Preds Insiders last season.
But it's on now.
But you can join us as well. You can call us and text us.
Pull up.
We will get to that at 6 o'clock. In the meantime, the Tennessee Titans host the hated Indianapolis Colts at noon at Nissan Stadium on Sunday. The Colts are looking to start 3-0 for the first time in 16 years. Mm. The Colts became the first team in NFL history to score on each of their first 10 offensive possessions of a season, and the first team in the Super Bowl era to not punt in either of their first 2 games in the season. I also believe the Colts have not gone 3-and-out at any point this season. So the juggernaut Indianapolis Colts, spearheaded by Daniel Jones and Jonathan Taylor.
Indiana Jones.
I don't care for that nickname.
Danny Dimes.
It was Danny Dimes for a while. It was.
Now it's Indiana Jones.
It is better than
Indiana Jones.
So it's an interesting matchup, because the Colts have been the surprise, I would say, of the early NFL season. By the way, the Titans injury report from today: J.C. Latham did not practice once again with the hip injury. Legarius Sneed once again did not practice with the back injury. Tavondre Sweat was limited in practice today with an ankle injury. Kevin Zeitler did return to practice today. He did not practice yesterday. He did return. He was limited with a bicep injury. Jarvis Brownlee showed up on the injury report today, limited with an ankle injury. So keep all of that in mind as the Titans prepare for the Colts. But here's my question to start off this hour. How critical is this game in terms of changing the vibes around the Titans? We've been talking for the first 2 hours of the program about how many of you are already done with Brian Callahan. You want him gone. The season is lost. It means nothing, which sucks to hear 2 weeks into a 17-game season, but that's how it's been around here. All of the AFC South teams are playing each other this weekend. The Colts, of course, are playing the Titans. The Jaguars are playing the Texans. Houston at Jacksonville at noon on Sunday. The Texans could be 0-3. The Jags could be 1-2. You could be 1-2. The Colts could be 2-1. Now, before you text and get all angry at me, I am not saying the division is in their grasp and they're going to win the division if they beat the Colts on Sunday. I'm not saying that. But there's also another interesting aspect of this, too. And Derek and I were talking about this before the show, and I think he thought it was a good thing. I kind of thought it was a bad thing, that this is the Titans' final home game for a month. They played their next three games on the road at Houston, at Arizona, and at Las Vegas. They are not back at home until October 19th, one month from tomorrow, against Mike Vrabel and the New England Patriots. And I thought if they go 0-3 and then leave for 3 weeks, people are just going to stop caring because they're not going to be games to go to. Derek, you think it would be a good thing if they lost and went away for 3 weeks because they could get out of town and escape all of the noise.
Yeah, you don't have to deal with, you know, and I'm not saying that, you know, after if they were to lose, say, this weekend and then have two more games back-to-back here, I don't think anybody would show up, honestly, based on what happened last week. And if they lose this week, yeah, then it is better for you to go off on a road tour, so to speak, because, you know, it's one thing to be a lose, you know, having lost your first three games and still at home is another to walk into the building and nobody's there to even boo you. Or the people that are there, the few that are, they're booing you. So for me, I think it would be better if indeed, say, they got off to an 0-3 start. Them having that road swing would be good for them. Think about this quickly. I was looking at this because Indianapolis obviously is their next opponent. Jonathan Taylor, Tyler Warren, Michael Pittman Jr., Alec Pierce, Josh Downs. Let's throw Adonai Mitchell in there as well.
AD Mitchell.
These guys have shown like flashes that they're going to be players on their team. All those guys. They all were draft picks. That's just on offense. Mm-hmm. You're talking about seven guys that they can build around on off. That's offense alone. That's just the skill players. You can't do that with the Titans, and that's the problem. And these are all young players. Even Jonathan Taylor, who's on his second contract, he's under 30, I think. So you're talking about all these young players in their 20s. Only thing they needed was a quarterback. And they think they got one with Daniel Jones, who was a reclamation project from two other teams or three teams.
Oh, man. I was laughed out of the building. When the Giants let him go, I said, I really wish we could have the tape because this would really make me look smart. But I
But I said,
he's going to get a shot with somebody. Mm-hmm. As bad as he's been. And then remember what happened? The Vikings grabbed him, and he was able to sort of recalibrate.
Guru.
Yeah. He hit the market, and the Colts paid him, what, $13 million, which is not nothing, right, to come in. And there were a lot of people who said, oh, man, you know what what does it say? You know that Daniel Jones is not a reclamation project. It just proves that there's a guy every year. Mm-hmm. Pick whoever that is. Maybe Mac Jones is the next guy backing up right now in San Francisco. We're going to see Brown. Browning is not a reclamation, the backup for Burrow. But they're out there, right? Mm-hmm. So Jones has been able to execute the things that they have wanted to do on offense. And he's lifting up the personnel, to your point, mm-hmm. D-May. So it was there. They just couldn't get that level of play. We'll see if it's for real week in and week out. And I think the Titans' challenge is to see how can they break that comfort zone. Like, they're pitching a perfect game right now. Mm-hmm.
Let's go to our friend Mark in Nashville on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Mark, go ahead, my friend.
Hey, what's up, Adam? D-Mace, Willie.
What's going on?
Hey, I'm sitting here listening to y'all. You got a hot team coming to Nashville this week. Daniel Jones. Adam, put some respect on that man. He graduated from Duke. I mean, that's your favorite.
Now, I'm not sure if he graduated, but he did attend Duke. Well, that is correct.
Well, he got enough money. I'm sure he went back and got his degree, Adam. But put some respect on Daniel Jones.
You don't have to tell me twice, Mark.
Yeah. Well, number one caller here, Mark, and Nashville people. Message brought to you by Pinnacle Bank, Kia Dillard.
No
here
free shouts.
Yeah, but hey, you got a Shane Steichen. He was coaching for his job early in the season. Daniel Jones, 300 yards last week. Rejuvenated Jonathan Taylor, D-Mace. Mm-hmm. You got Pittman, you got Warren, you got a heck of an offense there. I mean, their defense is good. And they beat the Denver Broncos last week at home, a team the Titans didn't beat. So, I mean, that's a hot team coming to Nashville. The next couple of games y'all are talking about, the Raiders, Vrabel, and Houston, and all, man, they could come back 0-6 after that run right there. So people are not going to forget what's going on with this team. And as far as drafting D-Mace, I've been saying for years, when you sit there and drafted Staronsky and you drafted Latham, you knew your team was bad. You should have been trading those picks back and getting multiple picks to improve that team. That's how I look at it. But, hey, Willie, hadn't forgot you, man. Go Dodgers. I hope they make the playoffs, Willie, but it's looking grim right now. I know you're sitting over in that desk, and I know you hear me.
Oh, I'm hearing you, Mark. The Mets got the job done today. Now I'm actually rooting for the Dodgers tonight because they're playing the Giants, and we need to keep those teams behind the Mets a little further back. And the Mets might actually play the Dodgers in the first round. Mm. Could happen. It could happen, Mark.
Yeah,
but first things first.
Thing,
you know, Coach Willie does not put the cart before the horse, ever.
Yeah, I know he does. And another thing before I go, Willie, watch out for those Cincinnati Reds. Willie, you got to give.
I'm looking over my shoulder.
You got to give Terry Francona credit, man. He's done a hell of a job with the Reds. And D. Mace, you know, whatever picks y'all call this show, silly dog picks or whatnot, y'all could have left Chris off the field yesterday, man. And y'all could have put me in his place because I'm taking Florida in an upset over Miami. And y'all have a good weekend, and I'm out of here. We'll see you, man.
Bye, Mark.
Mark with a little gator chomp on the way out.
Yes, Mark.
By the way, it's Thursday, so the weekend isn't for a couple of days.
Yeah, you got a few
Mark
days,
starts right? his weekend early. He's a man of leisure.
Yeah,
he enjoys life. Yeah.
He's leisuring around. He probably run a Fortune 500 club company. Mark knows what he's talking about, though. But listen, okay, the question was, is this a must-win for the Titans?
Not even so much. Not in so many words.
Yeah, it is, but in the essence of, like,
Getting back into the playoffs, restoring confidence.
It's not that you're moving
that.
In the right direction.
Exactly. That's
I think.
What,
it, I think it is. I
that's
think it's
what a must game. Win is yeah. For me, because I want that confidence that I do have in Callahan to continue, and I know there are a lot of Titans fans that feel the same way. But if you don't win this game, one, it's worth two games because it's a division game. But if you don't win this game, then it puts serious doubts in people's mind because, like we've said before, look at who they play after this, and look at the road games they have. This is not looking any prettier, you know, after these three games.
They really need a win or two in the next three or four games on the road. I think there's a Raiders in there. Mm-hmm. There's an Arizona in there. Not juggernaut teams. So, like, these are teams that you should not overmatch you now. The question would be, like, because on the surface, the Colts don't scare you as much as maybe the Broncos at Mile High or the Rams, who are very, very good at what they do. But are the Colts this year's version of the Vikings, reclamation guy at quarterback and pretty good roster otherwise? It's too early to tell. But if they get crushed by the Colts, then I do think the bloodthirst meter would go up, right? So I don't know if it's must win to restore confidence, but they need a positive weekend. And I think, you know, if it's not a win, you got to show me a lot of good things that happen in the game if they don't win.
It's not necessarily that it's maintaining or not getting thought of as worse, because again, if you look at their schedule moving forward, Houston, Arizona's not a good team. They're not playing well. So let's just put that to the side. Houston, Vegas, New England, Indianapolis, and then the Chargers again. Then the Chargers. And then Houston again. So
I mean, Houston's got issues right now.
Houston, but that defense is good, and they still have a quarterback that he can get the job done, and we've seen it before. So to me, it's a must-win game from the standpoint of if you want the fan base to stay with you. I'm not saying it's a must-win because I think they're going to fire him or anything else. No. I think it's a must-win because you got to give this fan base, especially the ones that are holding on, a reason to hold on more. And if you don't win against Indianapolis and they're looking at the future and they're looking at Houston, Vegas, New England, Indianapolis, a lot of them are saying you may be gone after the New England game. Plain and simple. So it's to calm down the fan base for now. Just calm it down now. Win this game. The team feels better. The fan base sort of is not, they don't have pitchforks and they're not looking to suck your blood, bloodthirsty. They're, you've kept them at bay for a week or maybe even longer because they understand how tough the schedule is going to be moving forward.
Should we see if we can sponsor a blood drive of some kind, a Brian Callahan bloodthirsty blood drive?
It's a great idea.
Hey, it's almost October.
If you hate Brian Callahan,
give blood.
Give blood.
Oh my God. I wouldn't say
Chase,
that.
Chase, are you listening? I just came up with a wonderful
hate is a strong
campaign.
Word. Yeah. If you're out on Brian Callahan.
If you're out on Brian Callahan.
If you strongly dislike Brian Callahan. I'm kidding, of course. 615-737-1025 will continue to take your reaction. How critical is the game against the Colts on Sunday in changing the vibes around the team? We're not calling it a must win because we think the Titans are going to get back into the playoff race, but they're about to leave town for a month. It would probably be good for them to find some way to win against a division rival. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025 The Game. Chase texted us during the break asking if I had become a wrestling heel during today's program because I am a bit feisty. Will Ospreay is not a heel, but that's a great song. Let's get back to your phone, 615-737-1025. Let's go to Todd first. Todd, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I think as I hear all of the hate for Callahan, to me it gets back to Chad Brinker. And ultimately, I'm still astonished that given the lack of faith that Brinker clearly has in Callahan, that he decided to give him another year and then force Cam Ward to likely have to learn a new system in his second year under a new coach who is not vested in Cam Ward at all. So love to hear your thoughts on that. And if you think the Titans following the Bears model of changing out coaches and quarterbacks is a good idea. I'll hang up. Thanks.
Thanks, Todd.
I mean, we've talked about, you know, how, you know, that whole Chicago experiment, it wasn't conducive to developing a quarterback. It just wasn't. But now we're seeing, like, man, was it a combination of both? You know, the coaching, you know, the musical chairs with the head coach and offensive coordinator, or is the quarterback really not that good? So, you know, changing coaches and offensive coordinators, 9 times out of 10, listen, if you do it more than not, then your quarterback is not going to turn out the way you want him to. So you want to make sure that if indeed he is the right guy, that you stick with him and give him time to develop this young quarterback, because that's what it's about.
And I mentioned this the other day, that Cam Ward on multiple occasions since the start of training camp has unprompted said to reporters, paraphrasing here, I like Brian Callahan. I like working with Brian Callahan. I want him to be my coach for a long time. I likened it on Monday to, you know, my pre-married life. I know a thing or two about desperation. That was me before I was married. And I kind of got that vibe from hearing Cam Ward do this. Like, I really want Brian Callahan to know that I like him. And I want everybody else to know that I like him too. But it is important that the quarterback – likes the coach. But, of course, Cam Ward has to look out for himself as well. And if at any point Cam Ward says, I'm not really sure Brian Callahan is the coach that's going to take me to the next level, I'm not sure how much sway that has in the front office, but you can't ignore it. But, you know, I've mentioned this before. A couple of you have texted this. I know Robbie Stanley has mentioned this a couple of times, that we've talked so much about continuity, which the Titans have lacked for the past few years, between John Robinson and Rand Carthon and Mike Borgonzi and Chad Brinker and Mike Vrabel and Brian Callahan. There's been a lot of rearranging the deck tears on the Titanic, if you catch my drift, Titans, Titanic.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Like it.
So, I continuity is good. The best teams in the NFL, the best teams in all of sports, have that continuity. But continuity for the sake of continuity can backfire. Mm-hmm. So I think that's important to keep in mind as well.
That's why I think Chad Brinker's viewpoint is very important in this. So the caller brought his name up. Because there, historically, in my mind, there's no doubt that Amy Adams Strunk is influenced by the noise of the fans. You can't help but not be.
I mean, what's the word you use to describe Amy Adams Strunk on a regular basis?
Wild card.
Bingo.
So she can be swayed, and I think the people around her who are in the front office, who have titles, that we really don't know what their background is. Mm-hmm. If you go to the website to get reference, you can't get any. They hear the noise. Chad Brinker's job and how Chad Brinker rose, he created an infrastructure that I think is designed to set up a system to where you now have, supposedly, Chad Brinker is a football person that can now be the connection between the football ops and the owner. So it's Chad Brinker's job to go to Amy Adams Strunk and say, okay, boss, I know we got problems, and I'm hearing the noise just like you are. They're after me. They're after everybody. But you got to trust me. Our coaching staff knows what they're doing. Our problems are not because of the coaching staff. Mm-hmm. Will he do that? Can he do that effectively? Because it looks like that is going to be a big thing. They're going to struggle, and they're probably going to look bad in a number of other Sundays. Hopefully there'll be a few good ones mixed in there. But in the whole focus of the big picture, let's have a really good team when that stadium opens, and we'll have our quarterback in a third year, and we'll have time to build some pieces around him. What the best move is with the coach, because the fire of the coach is the low-hanging fruit. You mentioned the term lowest common denominator. That's always where the water is going to flow, right? Fire the coach. He's not there. But Chad Brinker's got to be the guy that can say, wait a minute, let me tell you what's really going on, and let's not listen to the noise. Because the people from the outside, yes, we hear them. They're very important. But I've got to make that tough call. Is it really because the coaches don't know what they're doing? Or is it because we just have some work to do to build our roster?
I mean, I think Brinker is, he's tasked to be the liaison between the GM and the owner. He's the guy that relays the message, and he's the guy that, we want patience. Brinker, Borgonzi, we want patience. Okay, Brinker, we want patience. Now I got to relay that to Amy. Patience. We're preaching patience. So I'm the guy in the middle. We got to make sure all of this works. So if you're preaching patience, then you got to allow the good and the bad to happen, because you're asking for patience because things are not going well. That's why you're asking for patience. If things are going well, nobody's asking for patience. They're saying, make it more, more, more. I want to win more. I want more good stuff. But when things aren't going well, then it's, okay, let's have patience here. Well, if you knew coming into the season what your roster was, and you said on the front end, patience, everyone, not only am I talking to my fan base, but that is a a subtle, that's a hint to the owner too, patience, because this is what we all agreed upon, right? All three of us, GM, head coach, and me, I mean GM, owner, and I, this is what we agreed on, patience. So patience, fans, patience, owner, patience. Now, at the end of the season, what does patience look like, or what does development look like? Well, if he has his job, then we know what it looks like, depending on the record and everything else. If they're looking to get another coach, then obviously we know he failed.
So I'm reminded of that story I referenced earlier that was written before the season by our friend Teron Davenport and Jeremy Fowler on ESPN.com. And I'm paraphrasing here, but it was reported in that story that the sense on the ground in Tennessee is that modest progress from the Titans could be enough for Brian Callahan to stick around. So what is our definition of modest progress? Are you looking solely at win-loss record? Are you looking at offensive performance? Are you looking at...
I'll tell you what my number one thing is.
All right, let's hear it.
Are you finding some pieces, young pieces, that are moving in the right direction? And obviously it all begins with Cam Ward. He's the biggest. But DK, Io Manor, what's going on with Sweat and Latham, Skoronski, Cedric Gray. These are the key things to me, and it's not going to show up in wins and losses, but how many holes do I not have to fill for what? Because I need to limit the amount of holes they have right now on their roster are plentiful, mm-hmm. right? And you only have one first-round pick right now. You can't fix them all, and you certainly can't fix them all in free agency. So if they can get some hits, which they have not had in so long, we mentioned the four drafts. 4 years of drafting have yielded them 2020 through 2023 have yielded them Chigakonkwo, Roger McCreary, two okay players, Peter Skoronski, a pretty good player. That's four drafts. Those, I believe, if people can challenge me, those are the three best players from four drafts. So think about all of the holes that leaves. That's supposed to be your foundation. So now you're looking for answers there. So to me, that's the key. And they like to tell you, we got all these young players playing. It's okay that they're playing, but they have to be looking like they're getting better and look like, hey, that's a guy that we can count on going forward.
Contrast to the Indianapolis coach and what I said, Jonathan Taylor, Tyler Warren, Michael Pittman Jr., Alec Pierce, Josh Downs, A.D. Mitchell, guys that
that's their foundation.
Yeah. They're built, and I'm not even talking about the offensive line, those young guys.
Goody Pay.
Exactly. Like, these are stuff all, like that. Players that they can
Latu
build on.
Latu is the guy I'm thinking of. Latu on defense, right?
Those are guys that they can build on. The Titans, unfortunately, they don't have a bunch of those guys. Those guys are, it's just like trying to find something in the dark.
Well, what is the stat again, Adam? 5 out of 16 top 100 picks are still on the roster?
Yes, I looked at the entire AFC South between 2020 and 2024. 5 of the Titans' 16 top 100 draft picks, including Tajay Spears, who was not on the initial 53-man roster because he was on injured reserve, but I included him anyway. 5 of the 16 top 100 picks were on the initial 53-man roster. 5 of 16.
Yeah.
The rest of the AFC South, that number was above 50%. The Colts, I think it was maybe 70 or 75%. I can't remember the numbers. But clearly a disadvantage for the Titans, that those valuable picks that Chad Brinker has talked about, we want all of these top 100 picks, they've gotten 5 players out of it, basically.
It's just unfixable, because you can't make up for it in free agency, not in football. It does not happen that way.
615-737-1025. We will continue to take your reaction, and we'll wrap up the show next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game. D-Mace Vingan and Donick, 1025 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you.
What's coming up at 6, Adam?
The season premiere of Preds Insiders.
Yes.
Live. Live. Willie and I will stick around, and David, for another hour, a full hour of hockey talk. The Nashville Predators open the unice portion of training camp today, so no better time to start Preds Insiders than today. And Predators fans, we encourage your participation during the program. 615-737-1025. Willie and I would be glad to take your Predators questions. So stick around in case you need some hockey talk in your life, because I think we do. Because
it's opening day of training camp.
Yeah, and you know what? The Predators haven't gotten off to a bad start yet, unlike the Tennessee Titans. So
they haven't lost the game yet.
They haven't lost the game yet.
That is true.
That is true. And I remind you what Barry Trotz said earlier today, quote, and he said this tongue-in-cheek, quote, "We proved the experts wrong 2 years in a row, and we're hoping to make it three." Because, of course,
they're not being picked very high right now.
Mm-hmm. No, and last year,
they were picked high.
People were putting them in the Stanley Cup final. So we'll see what happens with the Predators.
I wonder what 10 questions will you have this year for the Predators, Willie?
Oh, I got questions.
That'd be interesting.
There are plenty of questions.
That's
getting
interesting. That's
whittling it down to
one.
10,
man,
I think, will be a challenge.
I can't wait till we do that. Part. Yes.
Yes. My favorite question from last year was about the Predators having a top 10 power play. And Derek's response was, they better.
Yeah, and they didn't.
And then one of them last year was, is Tommy Novak a second line center?
Well, we found out.
No. I think that. No. I think that.
That'd be a negative.
I think that question was answered loud and clear. So we appreciate all of your participation today as we talk about the Tennessee Titans and namely Brian Callahan. The word of the day was bloodlust, which is what a lot of you are experiencing toward Brian Callahan, because when things go wrong, someone has to take the fall, and the easiest person to take that fall is the head coach, regardless of the sport. I think that it's been an enlightening conversation hearing what all of you have to say about Brian Callahan. One texter, speaking of which, says, macro view is that the Titans have a barely serviceable offensive line, which is not something we thought we would be saying at the beginning of the season. No upgrade at left tackle, in parentheses. The reason Dan Moore was available is he was not good enough for the Steelers. Tough for a quarterback to throw with pressure in his face over and over again. 11 sacks in 2 games. At that pace, you are looking at 93 and a half sacks for the year in 17 games, which would not be the record. We did look this up. Mm-hmm. It was the 1986 Eagles or something like that.
Right. Although those sacks were divided among two quarterbacks, one young quarterback, Randall Cunningham, and one older quarterback in Ron Jaworski.
Correct.
So I think it's like you better not let the same guy take that many hits, because he's only going to be able to take so many.
I mean, look what happened. David Carr is the cautionary tale of what happens when a young quarterback gets pummeled game after game after game. David Carr's career was over before it really had a chance to start, playing behind a terrible expansion Texans offensive line. The texter continues, hard for downfield routes to develop with poor O-line pass blocking. Maybe we can move to quick throw offense and increase utilization of tight ends and running backs out of the backfield. The coach is going to have to change his philosophy to help out the quarterback and the offensive line. The kicking game has improved. The defense is a bit better, and I think they will continue to improve. That was from Rob.
Let's remember that they've had the lead in the second half of both games, right?
Not in the first. Well, the first game, because Denver scored at the half and they were down.
It was, but then,
remember they were
but
going. The they were going to be up 6-3.
Didn't they take and then a 12-10 lead at one point? Or am I wrong?
No, they led in both.
No, but they didn't leave at half.
Not at the half.
No, they did, because they came back down. They came back down and they kicked the field goal because they had the long return. You're right. Bam.
Yeah, well, it was 10-9 at the half.
So they were not leading.
Not at halftime, but in the third quarter, didn't they at one point have a 12-10 lead?
That sounds
in Denver?
Right. I'm going to double check.
Let's double check that. But, and this is like two ways of looking at it, right? This is glass half full. Despite the mismatch on the roster,
they led 12-10 in the third quarter.
With how much time left?
Early in the third quarter. 11:56 left in the third quarter.
Right, and then it was 13-12 for a long time, and they missed the chance to go up 15-13, which they should have. All that to say, they've been in both of these games. They haven't been blown out of the water. They led 16-13 against the Rams with 5 minutes left in the third, something like that. And then the Rams zipped down the field in four plays. The Titans punted it back. And then eventually it was the sack fumble that was cashed in. All of a sudden, two touchdowns later, you're kind of out of it. but they've been able to hang around in games.
Mm-hmm.
Like special teams, I think there's a reasonable expectation that special teams could be a strength of this team after two games. That's one way you hang around in games. They also have only turned the ball over once in two games. That's another good way to hang around in games. They've got to get the penalties
down. And they've gotten turnovers.
Yeah, they've got to get the penalties down. They have created some turnovers.
What are they, plus three, I think? Two or three? That may be plus two, which is
right, they do have that one turn. I keep forgetting that Cam Ward was charged with the fumble at the very, very end of the Broncos game. Insignificant.
Here are some interesting stats courtesy of Bill Barnwell. He says he's more enthused by the Titans' defense, which has looked solid through three quarters in consecutive games, before gassing out in the fourth. The Titans are 14th in expected points added per play on defense through three quarters, before falling to 28th in the final quarter, where the Broncos and Rams scored 20 of their 53 combined points. So that's one aspect of it. He also writes, the special teams, which was disastrously bad, and 2023 and 2024 has made big plays. The Titans lead the league in special teams DVOA after ranking last in the same category a year
from
ago.
Last to first, that'd be a pretty big jump.
I mean, that I would be very wrong about that. Titans
but what did I say at the beginning of the year when we had this? I said it only takes two or three more yards to put you, if not at the top, in the top five. And it has put them as a unit in the top 10. They are in the top half.
They are number one.
DVOA. They are the number one special teams out there when you're talking about the DVOA. What is it?
DVOA.
Yes. I understand. I decided to get the acronym.
The DVOA is just basically what is the value? The V is value. Value above average, over average.
Yeah, and they're doing. They're the best.
If
at
zero
it right
is
now.
Average, yeah. What you see is, you know, if you're plus 10%, you're 10% above average.
Hasn't missed a field goal.
No.
Chim Dike has had some nice impressive returns, although one was called back for a penalty.
Yeah, which certainly doesn't count. Like, they're not even counting that.
Right.
I think they're doing a good job on the punt.
And I think Hecker is a much, much better punter than Stonehouse. Exactly. No question about it. The way he hangs it up there, they're doing
it's,
a much
it's
better
It's night
job.
And day between those two.
Now, does Brian Callahan get any credit for that, or is that all Bones Fossil and nothing else?
Well, until this team start winning, Bones Fossil is an outlier. He's not part of Brian. People will not see that as, yeah, that unit got better, but it ain't because of you, even though he hired Bones Fossil because he knew Bones Fossil was the best, if not the best, one of the best special teams coordinators out there. So he had to go out and get him, or press, you know, the GM to make sure we need this guy, so we need to pay him and get him here. So you got to give him credit for that, understanding that this unit, which now because of the new rules, it can be a benefit to us if we have the best special teams coach out there, because special teams is about not letting guys score and you getting those hitting yardage and returns and you kicking those long field goals now. So if you're going to praise special teams coach, you got to give Brian some credit for hiring him, knowing that that part of the team needed an upgrade, and an upgrade very fast. So you went out and hired him. What I'm surprised is, and I'm going to start asking her, why isn't Bones Fossil gotten a head coaching job or a serious look? Because he's been a damn good special teams coach for years. So
he was an interim coach, I think.
I think he was with the
After
Raiders.
After the Rams fired Jeff Fisher.
Yeah, it was Rams. The Rams, not the
Bones
Raiders.
Bones Fossil was the interim coach.
Yeah.
How many special teams coaches become head coaches?
The best one is John Harbaugh.
Darn right.
I just go to John Harbaugh.
Fair.
There you go.
I feel like there's a couple more examples that I'm not thinking of off the top of my head.
That were special teams coaches?
It's not super often.
Yeah, it's not often, but.
Bob on our text line says, if the Titans would have played Carolina in New Orleans the first two games and the Titans would have won, you'd all be wanting Callahan to get an extension. Your thoughts?
I'm sure.
That they would look better in those games and maybe have a couple of wins?
I don't think we'll be asking for an extension. I think we would just be like, okay, he's getting the job done.
I do think one of the great mysteries of the NFL is after 2 weeks, you're saying, well, they've played two really good teams. Yeah. And I do believe that the Rams and the Broncos are both very good teams. I wouldn't say great teams,
No, they're good
But they're
teams.
Very good teams.
Playoff caliber
now,
teams.
Now, in several weeks, you might look back and say, wait a minute, I thought you said the Broncos were good. You know, like the Broncos are 3-5 or something like that. It does happen. Mm-hmm. That's the mystery of the league. I would not have thought the Colts would be talked about going into this game as one of the stories of the league, but that's what they are right now. So it's been a difficult – the degree of difficulty has been tough schedule-wise so far. You're right. They have not played – one of the weaker teams on paper.
Cameron says Mike Tomlin was a special teams coach. Is that true?
Well, I think he may have been.
And David tells me Joe Judge as well. I just think
Ken Wisenhunt was the Vanderbilt football special teams coach way back in the day.
We don't want to bring him up here.
He was. That's a fact.
I know, but man, that was a disaster.
It looks like Mike Tomlin was not a special teams coordinator.
He wasn't a coach. He may have coached on special teams, helped with special teams, but I've never known him to be a coordinator.
Hey, Cameron. Wrong.
Hold on. We'll keep double-checking
checking it.
He's got a long resume.
I'm sorry. Let me take that back before we vet some more. But I trust David back there.
I agree with David. I see from the NFL level, defensive coordinator, defensive backs, wide receivers, graduate assistant, wide receivers. Going back to his college, started at VMI.
Oh, the Virginia Military Institute.
Lexington, Virginia.
Yeah.
Yes. Wide receivers coach in 1995 at age 23.
Oh.
Out of William & Mary. 23. He was young.
I have a good friend, high school teammate, that played college ball with Mike Tomlin at William & Mary.
Yes.
They go way back.
In scenic, beautiful Williamsburg, Virginia.
Yes.
William & Mary. Man. Also, Busch Gardens is there.
Is it? I've never been to a Busch Gardens.
Well, there's one in Tampa and one in Williamsburg.
Man, I've never been. You've been, I'm sure, Will.
I went to Busch Gardens in Tampa, yeah.
I recently
It was like the caddies in Caddyshack when they go to the pool. The minor league Blue Jay guys went to the Busch Gardens and just see what we could disrupt in one day. Just a bunch of us went over there. What are we going to do today? Yeah. We got a day off.
Y'all thought y'all was big stuff when y'all walked over there.
Oh, yes.
I'm telling you,
comes the Blue
Jay. Hey, people, here's the Blue Jay.
Earlier this summer.
Oh, the Blue Jay. No, we're the Dunedin, the spring training scrubs.
We love Blue Jays.
Yeah. the little baby Jays. Yeah.
Earlier this summer, I went to Dunedin, Florida, where
that's right.
Blue Jays hold training, spring training. And not one sign of Willie Donick anywhere.
Nothing. You won't see
Tragic.
Me.
I was hoping somebody would be walking around with a tattered Donick jersey from spring training.
Keep looking. If you see one, let me know. It's unlikely.
He will gladly take it.
And if you find one, take it back from that guy because that's my shirt.
He
obviously stole it from me back 30-something years ago.
One texter says maybe Callahan can churn butter if this doesn't work out. Is that a reference to Colonial Williamsburg? Because we're talking about William & Mary and Busch Gardens, and now we're talking Colonial Williamsburg?
That's pretty strong if that's the case. Or is he talking about the dance move churning butter?
Hey, Willie, y'all were called hatchlings. Baby Blue Jays. We're the hatchlings.
All right.
The hatchlings are here, Busch Gardens. Where is that roller coaster ride?
We got to get out of here. Well,
we do.
The hatchlings.
Well, actually, Willie and I are not getting out of here because we are sticking around for a full hour of Predators talk. The season premiere of Preds Insiders is coming up next. Predators fans, call us, text us, 615-737-1025. We want to hear from you. Willie and I have been itching for some hockey talk. So we will do that coming up next. But the three of us will talk to you tomorrow live from Jimmy Kelly Steakhouse in Midtown at 3 o'clock.
Be loved, love on your people. Have a safe, blunt, wonderful day and blessed day. I love you. We love you. The hatchlings love you. Peace.